Chapter 2. Dispatch detectives in plain clothes over all the railways, north as far as Canada, west as far as Ohio, south as far as Washington.
Yes, sir.
Plus experts in all the telegraph offices, to listen in to all messages, and let them require that all cipher dispatches be interpreted to them.
Yes, sir.
Let all these things be done with the utmost secrecy, mind, the most impenetrable secrecy.
Yes, sir.
Report to me promptly at the usual hour.
Yes, sir.
Go.
Yes, sir.
He was gone. Inspector Blunt was silent and thoughtful a moment, while the fire in his eye cooled down and faded out. Then he turned to me and said in a placid voice, I am not given to boasting, it is not my habit, but we shall find the elephant. I shook him warmly by the hand and thanked him, and I felt my thanks too. The more I had seen of the man, the more I liked him, and the more I admired him, and marveled over the mysterious wonders of his profession. Then we parted for the night, and I went home with a far happier heart than I had carried with me to his office. Next morning it was all in the newspapers, in the minute's detail. It even had editions consisting of detective this, detective that, and detective the other's theory as to how the robbery was done, who the robbers were, and whither they had flown with their booty. There were 11 of these theories, and they covered all the possibilities, and this single fact shows what independent thinkers detectives are. No two theories were alike, or even much resembled each other, save in one striking particular, and in that one all the other 11 theories were absolutely agreed. That was, that although the rear of my building was torn out and the only door remained locked, the elephant had not been removed through the rent, but by some other undiscovered outlet. All agreed that the robbers had made that rent, only to mislead the detectives. That never would have occurred to me, or to any other layman, perhaps, but it had not deceived the detectives for a moment. Thus, what I had supposed was the only thing that had no mystery about it was in fact the very thing I had gone furthest astray in. The 11 theories all named the supposed robbers, but no two named the same robbers. The total number of suspected persons was 37. The various newspaper accounts all closed with the most important opinion of all, that of Chief Inspector Blunt. A portion of this statement read as follows. The chief knows who the two principals are, namely, Brick Daffy and Ed McFadden. 10 days before the robbery was achieved, he was already aware that it was to be attempted, and had quietly proceeded to shadow these two noted villains. But unfortunately on the night in question their track was lost, and before it could be found again the bird was flown, that is, the elephant. Daffy and McFadden are the boldest scoundrels in the profession. The chief has reasons for believing that they are the men who stole the stove out of the detective headquarters on a bitter night last winter, in consequence of which the chief and every detective present were in the hands of the physicians before morning, some with frozen feet, others with frozen fingers, ears, and other members. When I read the first half of that, I was more astonished than ever at the wonderful sagacity of this strange man. He not only saw everything in the present with a clear eye, but even the future could not be hidden from him. I was soon at his office, and said I could not help wishing he had had those men arrested, and so prevented the trouble and loss, but his reply was simple and unanswerable. It is not our province to prevent crime, but to punish it. We cannot punish it until it is committed. I remarked that the secrecy with which we had begun had been marred by the newspapers. Not only all our facts, but all our plans and purposes had been revealed. Even all the suspected persons had been named. These would doubtless disguise themselves now, or go into hiding. Let them. They will find that, when I am ready for them, my hand will descend upon them, in their secret places, as unerringly as the hand of fate. As to the newspapers, we must keep in with them. Fame, reputation, constant public mention, these are the detective's bread and butter. He must publish his facts, else he will be supposed to have none. He must publish his theory, for nothing is so strange or striking as a detective's theory, or brings him so much wonderful respect. We must publish our plans, for these the journals insist upon having, and we could not deny them without offending. We must constantly show the public what we are doing, or they will believe we are doing nothing. It is much pleasanter to have a newspaper say, Inspector Blunt's ingenious and extraordinary theory is as follows, apostrophe than to have it say some harsh thing, or, worse still, some sarcastic one. I see the force of what you say. But I noticed that in one part of your remarks, in the papers this morning you refused to reveal your opinion upon a certain minor point. Yes, we always do that. It has a good effect. Besides, I had not formed any opinion on that point, anyway. I deposited a considerable sum of money with the inspector, to meet current expenses, and sat down to wait for news. We were expecting the telegrams to begin to arrive at any moment now. Meantime I reread the newspapers, and also our descriptive circular, and observed that our $25,000 reward seemed to be offered only to detectives. I said I thought it ought to be offered to anybody who would catch the elephant. The inspector said, it is the detectives who will find the elephant, hence the reward will go to the right place. If other people found the animal, it would only be by watching the detectives and taking advantage of clues and indications stolen from them, and that would entitle the detectives to the reward, after all. The proper office of a reward is to stimulate the men who deliver up their time and their trained sagacities to this sort of work, and not to confer benefits upon chance citizens who stumble upon a capture without having earned the benefits by their own merits and labors. This was reasonable enough, certainly. Now the telegraphic machine in the corner began to click, and the following dispatch was the result. Flower Station, NY, 7:30 a.m. have got a clue. Found a succession of deep tracks across a farm near here. Followed them 2 miles east without result. Think elephant went west. Shall now shadow him in that direction. Darley, detective. Darley's one of the best men on the force, said the inspector. He shall hear from him again before long. Telegram number 2 came. Barker's, NJ, 7:40 a.m. just arrived. Glass factory broken open here during night, and 800 bottles taken. Only water in large quantity near here is 5 miles distant. Shall strike for there. Elephant will be thirsty. Bottles were empty. Darley, detective. That promises well too, said the inspector. I told you the creature's appetites would not be bad clues. Telegram number 3. Taylorville, 50:18:15 a.m. A haystack near here disappeared during night. Probably eaten. Have got a clue, and am off. Hubbard, detective. How he does move around. Said the inspector, knew we had a difficult job on hand, but we shall catch him yet. Flower Station, NY, 9 a.m. shadowed the tracks 3 miles westward. Large, deep, and ragged. Have just met a farmer who says they are not elephant tracks. Says they are holes, where he dug up saplings for shade trees, when ground was frozen last winter. Give me orders how to proceed. Darley, detective. Aha! A confederate of the thieves. The thing grows warm, said the inspector. He dictated the following telegram to Darley. Arrest the man, and force him to name his pals. Continue to follow the tracks to the Pacific, if necessary. Chief Blunt. Next telegram. Coney Point, Pennsylvania, 8:45 a.m. Gas office broken open here during night and 3 months. Unpaid gas bills taken. Have got a clue and I'm away. Murphy, detective. Heavens. Said the inspector. Would he eat gas bills? Through ignorance, yes, but they cannot support life. At least, unassisted. Now came this exciting telegram. Ironville, NY, 9:30 a.m. just arrived. This village in consternation. Elephant passed through here at 5 this morning. Some say he went east, some say west, some north, some south, but all say they did not wait to notice, particularly. He killed a horse, have secure a piece of it for a clue. Killed it with his trunk, from style of blow, think he struck it left-handed. From position in which horse lies, think elephant traveled northward along line Berkeley Railway. Has 4.5 hours start, but I move on his track at once. Hawes, detective, I uttered exclamations of joy. The inspector was as self-contained as a graven image. He calmly touched his bell. Alaric, send Captain Burns here. Burns appeared. How many men are ready for instant orders?
96, sir.
Send them north at once. Let them concentrate along the line of the Berkeley Road north of Ironville.
Yes, sir.
Let them conduct their movements with the utmost secrecy. As fast as others are at liberty, hold them for orders.
Yes, sir. Go.
Yes, sir.
Presently came another telegram. Sage Corners, NY, 10.30. Just arrived. Elephant passed through here at 8:15. All escaped from the town but a policeman. Apparently elephant did not strike at policeman, but at the lamp post. Got both. I have secured a portion of the policeman as clue. Stum, detective. So the elephant has turned westward, said the inspector. Over, he will not escape, for my men are scattered all over that region. The next telegram said. Glovers, 11. 1:15 just arrived. Village deserted, except sick and aged. Elephant passed through 3/4 hour ago. The anti-temperance mass meeting was in session. He put his trunk in at a window, and washed it out with water from cistern. Some swallowed it instead. Several drowned. Detectives Cross and O'Shaughnessy were passing through town, but going south so missed elephant. Whole region for many miles around in terror people flying from their homes. Wherever they turn they meet elephant, and many are killed. Brandt, detective. I could have shed tears, this havoc so distressed me. But the inspector only said. You see we are closing in on him. He feels our presence. He has turned eastward again. Yet further troublous news was in store for us. The telegraph brought this. Hogansport, 12:19. Just arrived. Elephant passed through 1/2 hour ago, creating wildest fright and excitement. Elephant raged around streets, 2 plumbers going by, killed 1, other escaped. Regret general. O'Flaherty, detective. Now he is right in the midst of my men, said the inspector. Odin can save him. A succession of telegrams came from detectives who were scattered through New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and who were following clues consisting of ravaged barns, factories, and Sunday school libraries, with high hopes amounting to certainties, indeed, the inspector said. I wish I could communicate with them, and order them north, but that is impossible. A detective only visits a telegraph office to send his report. Then he is off again, and you don't know where to put your hand on him. Now came this dispatch. Bridgeport, CT. 12:15. Barnum offers rate of $4,000 a year for exclusive privilege of using elephant as traveling advertising medium from now till detectives find him. Wants to paste circus posters on him. Desires immediate answer. Box, detective. That is perfectly absurd, I exclaimed. Of course it is, said the inspector. Violently Mr. Barnum, who thinks he is so sharp, does not know me but I know him. Then he dictated this answer to the dispatch. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.